It's good to be in the house of the Lord together, isn't it? To praise God together, to worship Him and thank Him for all that He's done. What a wonderful God we have. Some of the things that you said, Rob, were things that I said this morning. I was preaching this morning in a church in Worksop, and one of the things I said was, thank you, where are you going to spend eternity? You know, the most important question in your life, what will you do with Jesus? And the answer to that question will determine where you will spend your eternity, because we all have an eternity to face. Anyway, special day today in the calendar of the church. It is Pentecost Sunday, isn't it? Yeah, the day that the church remembers that the Holy Spirit came and empowered us. Empowered the church, but empowered us. So what I want to talk about really is the Holy Spirit and my understanding of some of that. And others of you might have different understanding, and hey-ho, that doesn't really matter. Because, as we've said previously, what matters, because what actually matters is that we're sons, daughters of God. Amen. That's what matters. You know, adopted into the family. Always back to Romans 8, you know. Fantastic chapter, adopted by the Spirit of God. Spirit of adoption. How wonderful is that? Anyway, what I want to call my little talk today is living water. The gift of God, living water. And you know, it flows through all of us, this living water, and we are used by it even when we're in a restaurant. Great to see Colin and Anne here today. I sat in that restaurant in Epworth couple of weeks ago with a group of Christian friends, and I just felt I had to go and speak to those two people there. You know how the Holy Spirit works on you. Go and talk to them. I thought I recognized Colin, but I actually don't think I do. But there you go. Christian people. Christian going to talk to them. And, you know, second time here, praise God. The working of that living water flowing through us and telling us and having a nice conversation. That was just lovely. Blessed me, and even blessed me more when I was in Scotland to hear that you'd been here, which was great. That was lovely. So today in the church calendar, it's Pentecost Sunday. Doesn't have to be today, by the way. It can be every day. You don't have to wait for Pentecost Sunday to celebrate the Holy Spirit. It's a something that you can celebrate every day. And the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit were given, and those gifts have never been taken back. They're there. They're available for each and every one of us. And I sincerely believe that once we become disciples of Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells within us and empowers us. And we have a responsibility to use that power for the glory of God. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to hundreds, 500 or more people, to give absolute, infallible evidence of his resurrection. If you go to court in this country, you just need two people to prove something. Well, Jesus appeared to 500 people, and yet people still say, he's not alive. Well, there was 500 people or more that saw him and gave evidence to the fact that he's alive. And praise God, yeah, and he's alive today. interceding for us in glory. How wonderful is that, that this Jesus, who was a spirit in heaven, gave up all that, became a human being so that he could die, and died for you and me, and now is a man in glory. You know, with those marks, the only man-made thing in heaven, the marks in his hands, in his side, on his head, on his back. For you, for me. And why? Because of his love, because of the grace of God. Amongst the people that Jesus appeared to after he died were the disciples. And in fact, on the last day, as he ascended into heaven, he spoke with and appeared to the disciples to encourage them, to give them some instructions. And it's in Luke 24. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to start at verse 36. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." Now there's a miracle for a start, that he just appeared. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts arising in your hearts? Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, touch me, see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see I have." Flesh and bone, note, no blood, because that had been shed. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But some of them still didn't believe. Did not believe for joy and marveled. I haven't quite understood that sentence yet. But he said to them, "Have you got any food?" And they gave him some broiled fish and honeycomb. I do rejoice at this sentence. Because when we get to glory, the Lord is going to say, "Come and dine. Come and dine." And we'll be able to sit and eat with the Lord in glory. How wonderful is that? I'm so delighted that when we get to heaven, we'll have some food. Because I'm not very good at food, as you know. It's okay, you're laughing, Rob, but you know, I might not be very good at food, but the Lord provides. Yeah. But when we get to heaven, there's going to be a banquet. It's going to be laid out for you and for me, and we're going to enjoy that banquet with the Lord. And he took the fish and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you whilst I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Now, just evidence again that this Bible points to Jesus. Everything. Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, concerning me, said Jesus. It points to him. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, just as Jesus did on the road to Emmaus with some of one of the disciples and possibly his wife, but opened the scriptures so that. And that's what the Lord does for us. You know, we sit and read the scriptures and sometimes we don't understand, and then the Lord just reveals to us through the Holy Spirit what it means, even though perhaps we still look in a glass, in a mirror darkly. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." So there's the task. The task still exists, to preach in his name to all nations. And those guys there were witnesses to these things. And we, in a different sense, through faith, as Rob was talking about, are similarly witnesses, not least because of what's happened in our lives. The change, oh, the change that has come about in our lives because of Jesus, his love, and his sacrifice. All things pass away, all things become new. We become new creation, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I missed a verse 49, which I want to go back to. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit's coming. And the Holy Spirit, once given, once on general release, available to you, available to me, because we are empowered and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Almost the final act of Jesus, that was to bless them, but almost the final act was to promise the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was a man, he's a man like you and I, a human being. No longer a spirit, no longer a being that can be in different places like the Holy Spirit can. Wait and be endued with the gift of the Holy Spirit, endued with power, so that they could preach repentance and remission of sins to the world. So the command was to wait. Wait on the Lord. That's a good command to remember. Time and again as we read Scripture, we're told to wait. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah 64 says we must wait on the Lord and see what he has prepared us for. As Rob was saying, there is a plan. There's something that we are meant to do. In fact, I go a bit further than Rob. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So it isn't for this task or that task or the other task. It is all of your life. 24 hour, 7 days a week, your life totally committed to the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And I believe he does that through the Holy Spirit. Psalm 27, verse 14, you know, one of my favorite verses says, wait on the Lord and he shall renew your strength. Isaiah 40 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, life is tough. Yeah. Life is hard. We need the strength of the Lord. And how do you get it? You wait on the Lord. Wait on him and he will strengthen you. Time and again we read to wait on the Lord. And what do we do while we wait on the Lord? We listen for his voice. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to his guidance. Maybe he says it through the word that we read. Maybe he says it from the pulpit. Maybe he says it from a conversation with a neighbor. All sorts of ways that the Holy Spirit will influence you and your life, and you will influence others. So the disciples waited for this promise of empowerment. They waited for that to be fulfilled. So let's read about that. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Where else would we go today but Acts chapter 2? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now just think about that sentence, first of all. They were with one accord. That's us in this room today. We are believers, disciples, followers of Jesus, and we have that one accord. We are all focused on God and His love. And they were in one place. Together, don't forsake the coming together. You know, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, but it's an important thing to do. So don't forsake the coming together to church. Why do you come? Well, we come to worship God. We come to receive. But you know, we also come to give. Each one of you. And people who say, I don't need to go to church, forget that second or third reason that they're there for them to impart to people. You know? Absolutely. Somebody might say something to you and you might say something to somebody else, or the Lord might speak to you. There's an interrelationship between people and God in church when we are together in one accord, worshiping the Lord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Come on, Lord. Hey. And it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When you speak in tongues, you don't necessarily know what you're saying or what you're going to say next, but you do. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Reminds me of Nicodemus, this, because Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus told him, born again, says Nicodemus, how can that be? And Jesus said to him, you are a man of the church and you don't know. You don't know. And he told him, you must be born again. And the consequence of being born again is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Your life changes. Old things pass away, all things become new. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit and they were scratching their head. What's this all about? And we can hear in our own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these who speak Galileans? Well, you know what that means, don't you? Are not these not very bright blokes? How can they be speaking in all these different languages? They're from Galilee. They're uneducated. They're from the backwaters. How can this be? Well, it was the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? You know, it was God speaking through them. And how hear we every man in our own tongue where we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and all the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Shortly going to Crete again to see my son, and they were mentioned here on this day, hearing in their own language the message of the Lord. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what does it mean? What does it mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. I don't know why they would conclude that. Because actually, I would have thought if they were full of new wine, they would have been sent to sleep or not able to talk, or certainly not able to talk in different languages. What's new wine got to do with it? Obviously, they were mistaken. But Peter stood up and said, "Ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And what did the prophet Joel say? "And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." I'm still seeing visions. not dreaming the dreams yet. Young men dream dreams, older men. What are you seeing, David? You're dreaming too, are you? Yes. Praise God. Absolutely. With one accord, they were. They must have had mixed emotions, these disciples. Jesus had gone, the one that they loved, the one that they worshipped, the one that they followed, he had gone. Where are we going now? They didn't know their future. And of course, in those times, they were under threat. The important thing is they were together, just as we are together. The same message, do not forsake coming together. And the Holy Spirit came, filled each one of them, empowered them, and that was outpoured to the public, and 3,000 people believed. Amen. We read in the Bible that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is for us today. There's no difference. God hasn't changed. Things in the world might change, we might change, so on and so forth. But that is still available. John 7. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. And he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Notice, it doesn't say those who believed in him might receive. Will, absolutely. Those people will receive those living waters. And that's the Holy Spirit that is within us. And do you remember the woman at the well? One of my, again, favorite stories, accounts in the Bible. "If you knew who I was," he said, "I can give you living water. Give me that living water," she said, "so I don't have to come and draw the water from the well anymore." Again, initially thinking like Nicodemus was initially thinking in human terms. But God was saying, Jesus was saying to her, this living water, this spiritual water, which she accepted, and so did her village and many others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not on your own." This is very reassuring for me, for somebody who lives on their own. The Lord's with me. How wonderful is that? Yeah, others who live on their own. The Lord is with us. Praise God. And our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of my dad, this. As you know, my dad was a pastor in a church, but he also, times we worked in a foundry, in a drop forge, a really difficult place to work with, great big, enormous hammers dropping down, boom, boom, boom. and the guys who worked for him were tough guys. And of course, my dad ran this shop, and he said to them, "You've got to go and do this." And they said, "We're not doing it." My dad said, "I'm telling you, you've got to do it." And these guys, who were mostly Asian guys, squared up to my dad. And my dad was a big guy, 6 foot odd. They squared up to him. Oh, and he said, "You touch me, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you touch me, just remember who and what you are touching." And they didn't touch him. They backed off. Amen. Hallelujah. But that verse always reminds me of my dear old dad. It goes on to say, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's who we belong to. We belong to God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And that inheritance is eternal. Life everlasting with God. How wonderful is that? Holy Spirit is also mentioned numerous times in the Old Testament in a different way. But nonetheless, because, you know, we believe in the Trinity. Incidentally, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. But truly, "I am filled with the power of the Spirit of the Lord," it says in Micah. "Truly, I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord." Is your glass half full? Is your glass half empty? Or are you a full cup person, full of the Holy Spirit of God? So who or what is this Holy Spirit? I know we've discussed this a few times recently, and people have different understandings, and that's fine. So I'm just going to share what I feel about the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in three separate beings who come together as one Godhead, which we now call Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus, who became the Son of God when he was born. And I believe that these three beings together make the Godhead and are equal. I don't believe there is any pecking order between the three of them. They've been together for all eternity and are so intertwined and intermingled and so together that they are one. And therefore they share the power of God. They're not separate. Yet they are individuals. It's a very hard concept for people to understand. How many of you had an egg for your breakfast this morning? You have no difficulty understanding that an egg is a shell, is a yolk, is the white of an egg. Three things make up one. How many of you had a shower this morning? You showered in nice, hot, warm water. But water can be ice and it can be steam. Three things that can be the same. I also believe that God, the Godhead, is a fantastic mathematician. And everything in the universe works in sync according to a plan. Absolute perfect mathematician. And yet, simply put, and Mike referred to this recently, this 1 + 1 + 1 is 3. So there we have 3. So 1 + 1 + 1 is 3. Doesn't mean that you haven't got the three individuals, but you have got the three, and that's just one number. Okay. But the great mathematician didn't give up there, because 1 × 1 × 1 is 1. You've still got the three, But the three now only equal one. The great mathematician is our Lord God. What happens when you divide them? One divided by one divided by one is one. You've still got the three, but you've only got one. And so the concept of the Trinity, of three being one and yet being separate, is difficult. What about subtraction? Well, I've put a line through subtraction because you can't take anything away from God. And so the subtraction doesn't work. But the adding and the multiplication and the division works well. In John 15, the Holy Spirit is described as He. So a distinct person, a distinct being. And when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. An individual being. In Acts 13, we read the Holy Spirit speaks to the church in Antioch. The Holy Spirit speaks to the church in Antioch about setting Barnabas and Saul apart for his work, for the work that the Holy Spirit has called them to do. References to the being, the Holy Spirit, doing things, saying things, and requiring things. Set apart for me, said the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Saul. Ephesians 4 tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So, feelings of a being. Again, proof for me that there is a Trinity made up of three beings who are one. And Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit of life sets us free. The Spirit sets us free from sin. Wonderful. Who was Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God. Still is. How was that conception? How did that occur with Mary? The angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive. So the conception of Jesus was through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, conceived through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is, I believe, a member of the Godhead, given to us as believers as a comforter, as Ken talked about the other week, as a helper, as our guide, to empower us, to lead us, to direct us. Why? Because we are children of God. Amen. And in the Psalms we read, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The Holy Spirit is omnipresent everywhere. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. The Holy Spirit is in the world today and leads us. Omnipresent. And we need to learn how to hear the voice of God, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and I. Listen. As a consequence of the Holy Spirit being active in the world, we have gifts. And Grace spoke about the fruit of the Spirit very recently too. In Corinthians it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many different ministries, but the same Lord. Diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, the same Spirit. And I think there are probably many more. Those are the ones that are listed, but I'm not going to put any limit on God in terms of what he can do in my life. Whatever he wants to do, please God, do it. So the gifts from God, from the Holy Spirit, are important, and we need to seek them, find them and use them. And then we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is different, but which tells us how we should live, the qualities that we have or should have in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And what do we get from the fruits? Well, by your fruits shall you be known. That's how the world will recognize who you are. The way that you live your life, the way that you are when you're out, Rob on your motorbike, or me on my motorbike, or in a restaurant somewhere, or wherever. Because in all our ways, we need to acknowledge God. In all our ways, we need to demonstrate those fruits of the Spirit. That's how we should live. That's how we should be known. Oh, I know that guy down there. Oh, he's a good guy. Ah, oh, he's a weirdo. He's a Christian. Ah, but he's okay. You know? And don't for one minute think that people do not watch. They do. Absolutely, they watch. They look to see if you slip or fall, so that they can say, aha, we told you so. We told you so. We must stand firm. Continue to stand firm until the end. We must put on the whole armor of God so that when we go out on the street, as some of us do, preaching the gospel in the streets, so that we are protected, so that God is with us. The Spirit of God being with us. So, having committed our lives to the Lord, as we all have, I believe, we are disciples. Having committed ourselves, we don't stand still. It's time to grow, time to go deeper into the realms of God, to go deeper into the gifts that the Spirit will give us, day by day by day, to learn more of God, because he is itching to give us his gifts. He wants to, as a benevolent father, give us the gifts that we know, because he's God. We shouldn't limit him. So let's seek to take the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit that he offers us. And let us go into this difficult and tormented world, because that's what it is. It's a difficult world full of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, all sorts of things happening, signs of the times. And it is, if ever there was a time, time for us to stand firm. Stand firm. You know, the prodigal son, he was away from his father, but he still was a son. And it's like what Rob was saying, you know, things that happen in your life, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, will come after you. Never leave you alone. Once it's in your head, Rob, isn't it? And the Lord had a plan and brought you back through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, one of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, working for you and I. And that will never end until we see them face to face in glory. How wonderful that day will be. How wonderful. So, unplug your ears. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Remind your face that you're a Christian. Smile. Remember how you appear to the world, and let that spirit be portrayed as you live your life for God, so that others will see and come to know that life as a Christian is not miserable. It's full of joy. Full of joy and peace. And that we will live an abundant life. And that abundant life is the receiving of spiritual gifts that abound and abound. Yeah. Praise God. God bless you all.